I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, friend, welcome. Hey, you know what today is, right? I don't. Sorry for the scheduling issues lately. Makes it a little harder to do the whole holiday thing. You think it's February yet, Chester? All right, we'll go with that. Happy Black History Month, y'all. Sorry if I'm a little early. And if I missed it, happy belated. Let's head in, friend. All right, that's better. Hey, Chester, you think I have any black listeners? Just two? Come on. Nah, anyway, check out simplyscarypodcast.com, y'all. Click the Patrons Area button and you can get the entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream for as little as $7.99 a month and help keep Chilling Tales for Dark Nights going. And don't stop there, y'all. Check out patreon.com/DrewBlood if you get a chance. You get to listen to the Drew, Jeff, and Paul show. I told one hell of a fishing story last week, y'all. All right, so tonight we welcome author Tor Anders Ulven by way of Velox Books. This one is from his excellent collection, Hopper Obscure, and it's a nasty little piece of cosmic body horror. If you're sensitive to that kind of thing, listen anyway, it's good for you. So without further delay, from author Tor Anders Ulven, I give you Midwalski. The train ride was 2 hours. 2 hours spent in dim, flickering light, watching a fat old lady eat what I'm convinced was rancid cat food from a dirty plastic bag. Not pellets, mind you. No, it was the sludgy, oozing, disgusting stuff. Bits of liver and entrails and eyes and fat, all mashed together into something vaguely edible. She dug her fingers into it shamelessly, licking them clean in a sickening display of social ineptitude, all the while looking me dead in the eye. I could have looked away, but some things, hideous as they may be, simply have to be observed in order to be believed. Zeke was waiting for me at the end of the line, some godforsaken outpost in the middle of nowhere. I could say that I don't even remember the name, and it wouldn't be a lie per se. It's just that it doesn't seem important anymore.
Tommy!
Zeke yelled excitedly as I got off the train.
T-Dog!
I raised my hand in greeting, but secretly wanted to punch his face in. We had a falling out a couple years back, and we really hadn't been talking since. There was a woman. There's always a woman. Except Zeke ran off with this particular one. Left me high and dry and heartbroken. Rumor has it that it all ended in a spectacularly messy breakup, culminating in her glorious destruction of his precious vinyl collection. Karma, I suppose you'd call it. I always wondered what happened to her.
Zeke,
I said.
Good to see you, man.
I lied, of course. If I had any other choice, I'd have fucking ignored his hysterical phone call. But I needed the money. And he did sound sincere. But still,
I should have known better. Should have read the signs. Should have spotted the red flags.
Likewise, man, likewise.
He gave me an awkward hug. I could see it already then in his tired gaze. Red-veined eyes. Dilated pupils. He was on something. And a lot of it. But I didn't care. I was there for the money. In and out, one night. That was the deal. So, I said, what am I doing here exactly? We walked to the parking lot about 5 minutes from the station. Zeke had already smoked 3 cigarettes before we reached his car. I could see his hand shaking uncontrollably. Was it the drugs, alcohol, or something else entirely?
I'm in some real deep shit here, Tommy, he said. But I think I found a way out.
He was a pale, sweating, shivering mess, barely able to stay on his feet most of the time. Zeke had always been long and thin. Gaunt, I guess the word is, but not like this. This was hardly anything but skin and bones. And his sickly appearance, namely the hollow-cheeked face and sunken eyes, made me feel increasingly uncomfortable. I snatched the car keys from his fingers.
I think I'll drive, I said. You don't look so good.
He nodded weakly and staggered to the passenger side.
Just need you to watch my back tonight, he mumbled. You know karate and shit, right?
What? No. I stared at him quizzically. I went to judo for like a month when I was 11. Haven't been in a fight since preschool.
But you won though, right?
He tried to smile.
Look, I don't expect anything to happen, but you're a big guy, and I just need you to stay close, just in case.
I nodded thoughtfully and started the car. So where to? He mentioned something about a party, so I figured it would be close to something I guess you'd call a town. Maybe a bar or a club or something.
See that road?
He pointed ahead.
Follow that north for about an hour and we should be getting close.
If you didn't know Zeke, you'd probably think it was a joke. But I knew Zeke, and I didn't. He had this skill, some might go as far as to call it a superpower, where he'd find a party wherever he was, or failing that, make a party happen wherever he was. So when he told me we were going to an abandoned house in the middle of goddamn nowhere, I didn't even give it a second thought. That was just how Zeke rolled.
Hey, man, he said a few minutes in. About that whole Lydia business.
Don't. I glanced at him. He was more or less unconscious, his head dangling from side to side. The weight of it suspended only by the seatbelt, of which I forced him to put on. It's in the past, I continued. Besides, I hear she wasn't much of a keeper anyway. He laughed then, a horrible, raspy, discordant sound. His body convulsing and spasming, like it wouldn't allow him even the slightest glimmer of joy. I suddenly felt nauseous. But I can't begin to explain why. Maybe, for the briefest of moments, I knew what was coming. Knew what awaited me in that godforsaken house. Zeke kept slipping in and out of consciousness for most of the drive. But the moment we approached the side road leading to the house, he suddenly jolted awake, his eyes wide with what I could only assume was anticipation. The promise of booze, drugs, and women, not necessarily in that order, would do that to him. Whatever state he was in, no matter how fucked up he'd be, mention any one of the above and watch him come back to life like some freaky mechanical automaton.
That's it, he said. That's the place.
I felt sick to my stomach. Framed against the vicious blood-red sky, the house was bleakly gray and harrowing, casting unnaturally ominous shadows down the rough, overgrown driveway. It looked ancient, century old or more, an and I couldn't even begin to imagine what kind of parties went on in that creepy shithole. There were a couple of cars parked out front, but I heard no music, and I saw no lights.
"You sure?"
I said hesitantly.
"This death trap?"
"Don't judge a book by the rotten wooden carapace surrounding it,"
he said poetically. I parked the car haphazardly on what could have once been the front lawn, but now resembled a wildly spreading weed forest, and got out. Zeke followed, his lanky, trembling frame lurching unsteadily towards the front door. I don't know, but to me it almost seemed like he was deteriorating by the minute, rapidly rotting away, just like the ramshackle eyesore we were approaching.
"Look, man, about Lydia," he murmured. "I really am sorry, you know."
"Hey, forget it," I said. "I've moved on. We're good." "Were we good, though?" I guess his current physical and mental state somewhat dulled whatever resentment I still held for him. Right now, I just wanted to get him out of that house alive. I could always punch him in the face later.
"Let me do the talking, all right?"
he said.
"These guys don't fuck around."
"Jesus, Z, what the fuck have you dragged me into?" Zeke didn't reply, just gave me a sad, terrified look as he opened the door. I felt a rush of adrenaline enter my system, guided undoubtedly by fear, as I realized how little I knew about our current situation. I had no idea what I was getting into. Who were these people? What did they want with him? I'd been too focused on the money and Zeke to even begin to question the nature of our visit to this desolate hellhole.
"Come on,"
he said.
"Let's get this over with."
I followed him quietly inside, sensing as I crossed the threshold a significant change of ambience, like a sudden barometric pressure drop. It's like some places are just different, you know. Or not even the places, more like an intangible, contagious perception of the things that happen in those places, could happen in those places. My best example would be the feeling you get when you wander the empty hallways of a hospital at night. Pale lights, off-white walls, definitely silent soundscape, lingering scent of the unknown. Maybe it's the smell of life. Maybe it's the smell of sickness. Maybe it's the smell of the dying. I almost turned around right then and there, overcome by a flood of bad memories and painful mistakes. But Zeke quickly snapped me out of it. It was like he knew what crossing that threshold would conjure up inside me.
"Hey,"
he grabbed my arm.
"Come on."
The inside of the house was somehow even more dreary than the exterior. There was no color anywhere. Faded, rotten, gray wood and decaying furniture, devoid now of any functionality whatsoever. Swirling dust, an eerie beam of pale light penetrating the torn curtains, illuminating briefly the current inhabitants of the place. At first, I didn't notice them. They blended in almost perfectly, like living black and white photos amidst the formless, ageless rubble.
"You just hang back, yeah?"
Zeke whispered. I nodded weakly, the sight of them slowly registering, creeping from eyes to brain to stomach, lingering then as a sensation of loathing and sickness. But why? By all accounts, they were utterly unremarkable. Not at all what I was expecting. There were three of them. Centered on the floor of what I'm assuming was the living room, sat an old, wrinkly, bald man, maybe in his late 80s, dressed in an old-timey tweed suit. You know the type. The ones that always seem three sizes too large and only come in depressing shades of green-brown. Behind him, barely noticeable at first, was a young woman. She was short, yet somehow incredibly imposing, like her very presence unconsciously demanded attention. She wore, you know, normal clothes, I suppose. It's the kind of stuff you can't really remember. Maybe black pants, white top. I can only ever imagine her face clearly. The rest just sort of fades into blurry maybes and I guesses. But her face and those huge, unblinking pale blue eyes, I don't think I'll ever forget. The boy sat at her feet. I don't believe he ever looked directly at me. Just sat there staring at the floor, fingers idly tracing the edges of the planks hidden under a thick layer of dust. He immediately struck me as strange. Well, stranger, I don't know, but there was just something about him that didn't feel right. Maybe it was the weird outfit. He was dressed like an old-fashioned paperboy, you know, with the newsboy cap and short pants with suspenders and everything. Or maybe it was the fact that he never seemed to stop frowning. Zeke sat down on the floor opposite the old man. What followed next remains unclear. It's not that I don't remember it. It's more that I remember several versions of it. And to me, at the very least, they're all equally true. And at the same time, they're all equally false. This would keep happening. Memories duplicating, changing ever so slightly, sometimes layered on top of each other, to the point where it would be nigh impossible to separate one from the other. Was it his right hand or left hand? Who gave him the knife? Was there even a knife? There had to be, right? If not, where did all the blood come from? I remember whispering, or was it shouting? Zeke whispering to the old man shouting to Zeke. Possibly the other way around. Possibly neither. Sometimes both. Sometimes simultaneously. Like a synchronized mantra, pre-rehearsed even. There didn't seem to be any words, or at least not any I could easily decipher from the low buzzing hum, or alternatively the discordant thunderous booms of their vocal cords. Just aggressive hissing, violent murmurs, a swarming cacophony of shouting and or whispering, all inexplicably attacking my ears from nowhere and everywhere at once. Then for a brief moment, clarity and silence, as the young woman silently approached me. Her face was pale as a freezing winter night, black as the eclipsed sun, impossible shades and colors, but also nothing more than a woman. Cheekbones to die for, sometimes to kill for. Eyes bigger than her face, but still perfectly aligned and on either side of her nose, vertically, probably horizontally too. Her lips were like twin dancing cobras, although not at all. Yet that's how I remember them.
"Wanna get high?"
she asked. Sometimes she had a foreign accent, sometimes not. Sometimes she didn't even talk. She looked up at me and I realized suddenly that I was almost twice her size. Yet I found myself cowering in her heroine shadow.
"I'm Irina,"
she said, although sometimes she'd say Elena instead. Nadia, too. They're all true, I believe, but also false. I didn't answer, just looked nervously over at Zeke. He gave me a nod and a smile, enforcing his chosen stance with a trembling thumbs up before turning back to the old man and continuing whatever it was they were doing. For the next few minutes, Zeke would shoot me brief, worried glances. But even if I'd somehow understood what was going on, it'd already be too late. Irina held a black pill, sometimes a capsule, between her right, sometimes left thumb and index finger, and was slowly gliding it towards my mouth. She was too short, though, or I was too tall, one or the other. so I had to awkwardly bend down to accept the gift. She smiled, licked her lips, a darkness erupting from the impossible depths of her eyes.
"What is it?" I asked.
"Midwaski,"
she whispered into my ear as I swallowed the pill, sometimes capsule.
"I like the sound of that," I said.
The room started spinning. I say room, but I guess it was the house. There were no walls dividing anywhere from anywhere else. The boy was suddenly standing. He still didn't look at me, but his face was turned in my direction now, eyes slowly going wide as the pupils disappeared up into his forehead. Irina was holding my hand and laughing, twirling in perfect harmony with the sudden amorphous nature of the house. I could be hallucinating at this point. It is entirely plausible. But then again, there's always the wretched possibility that I wasn't. Then came the incident with the knife. Was it a knife? Sometimes it was there. Other times it was just the blood. But there were no screams, no chaos, no disorder or anger or fear. That scared me even more than watching Zeke gut the old man, with or without the knife. The look on Zeke's face, the look on the old man's face, Irina's hysterical laughter, the wide-eyed frowning boy. There was no response to it, like it just casually happened.
"I'm sorry about Lydia," Zeke said. "I really am."
But I didn't believe him. That's the only thing I could think about as I fell to the floor, my body suddenly, utterly unresponsive and limp. He was never sorry about Lydia. He was sorry about me.
"I'm really sorry."
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Things slowly faded to black, like a beautiful coffin lid sliding perfectly into place over my eyes, and I found myself smiling. Or was that someone else? Regardless, I can't really call it a dream or sleep or unconsciousness. It was more like a hazy, fast-forwarded version of events I couldn't control. I believe I was somewhat conscious every step of the way, but I have no way of knowing for certain. How much time had passed? An hour? Two? A day? No way to tell. I could move again in the darkness, slowly, painfully at first. It took minutes, hours, before I finally regained enough mobility to stumble to my feet. I spent that time face down on the floor, focusing on my strained, erratic breathing, listening to the frantic drumbeat of my heart. I was somewhere else, that much I realized. Concrete floor, stone walls, abysmal darkness, perpetual nausea. It was like my intestines were boiling, but not with pain directly. More like they were filling with a tepid, lukewarm, acidic liquid, the foaming foulness climbing ever higher up my throat. No matter how hard I tried, there was no ignoring it. It remained a physical presence, a constant, relentless sickness, fused now with my very being. Then came the smell, a rank odor I could barely identify, but somehow instinctively knew by heart. Or is it new by nose? I suppose it's a primal thing, encoded in our DNA. Remnants from a time when it was necessary, essential even, to recognize the stench of death. It served as a warning, I'd imagine. Where there is death, there are threats. quite simple, really. At first, I didn't know what to do with it. I was hanging on to the possibility that the gut-wrenching nausea had something to do with the smell. So I tried breathing exclusively through my mouth, crawled up in a corner, anxiously trying to piece together exactly what had happened to me. And then it began. Violent spasms, brutal convulsions, my stomach twisting inside and outside of itself, exploding muscles pushing it up and through my ribs. I cracked then, something snapping, but the pain hardly even registering, focus remaining solely on the oozing, chunky liquid, lumpy mass, nugget presence, pressing ever upwards. Esophagus stretching impossibly, expanding and pulsating and writhing. The nausea, sickness, vomit now too physical, too tangible, spewing forth from the mouth, nostrils, eyes. But it wasn't liquid, was it? Yes, but also no. An interconnected pool of black slimy puke, maybe soft bones, mucus bones, elastic upchuck, squirming and wiggling and slithering in a pool of itself, misshapen and malformed, not yet formed. A birthing through the mouth then, but of what, I wondered. Abomination. Aberration. Repugnance. Detestation. Midwaski. And then it ended. As fast as a written sentence, it was over. But your mind conjures a book before you even get the first word down, and the madness felt all too much like an eternity as I disgorged my unspeakable baby into existence. I couldn't move, every muscle and bone in my body now strained and worn and broken, my sanity gently floating in that comforting void of nothingness and everythingness combined. A place where the impossible suddenly loses its prefix, and you find yourself dying to die, or disappear, or shrink into the cracks of the floor. I was brought back from that place by my black vomit baby's first screams. My face was buried in it, and it was hurting, desperately trying to break free from the constraints of the birth canal. It had features now, feet, legs, torso, arms, hands, face, but they were all either angled wrong or placed wrong or had too many wrongs. I could barely keep my eyes open, barely stay conscious, and I could have just closed them, could have just passed out or on, but some things, disgusting as they may be, simply have to be observed in order to be believed. It moved with the grace of all things ungraceful, like a spider without legs, or a slug with hooves, or a worm with one wing, the mucousy bones squishing against the floor as it feverishly tried to crawl away from me. But it couldn't. It was still stuck in my throat, and my nose, and my eyes. It kept screaming in horrible high-pitched sonic outbursts, like how I imagined stomping down a million fat maggots would sound like. Air and gooey innards forcibly pushed out through every cavity, existing or not, in the blink of an eye. In fact, I've tried it since, and it comes pretty close. At long last, it ripped itself free, the last remnant of its puke body slowly pouring from me, and within moments it was gone. Swooped up into the awaiting embrace of the old man. Where did he come from? Someone thought. Probably me. Also, wasn't he dead? My eyes couldn't move that far from my face, so I never got a good look at him. But he was alive. How else could he be there?
Well done, my friend, he said.
And then he ate my unholy vomit baby. Consumed it limb for limb, feasting, drooling the liquid flesh dripping down in pulpy chunks onto the floor before me. It screamed every second of the ungodly act, the high-pitched maggot-stomping wails echoing in that room for minutes after. If I wasn't sick before, and I was truly feeling it now. But not a physical ailment this time around. A sickness of the soul. A taint on the spirit. The extinguishing of every human aspect of my being.
"We leave you now,"
the old man said.
"But you are strong, just like your friend."
I tried to move my mouth, form words, communicate when I saw him. Zeke. He was behind the old man, barely conscious, his haggard presence swaying unsteadily next to Irina and the frowning boy.
"The next one will be mine, yeah?"
Zeke murmured.
"That was the deal."
"You have served us well, and you will be rewarded."
Zeke didn't look at me once, just kept staring at the floor. Soon after, when they disappeared, he followed hesitantly. But just as he reached the doorway, lips quivering, tears in his eyes, he turned to me.
"I'm sorry about Lydia."
Then he left. And just like that, I was alone in the darkness again. To be quite honest, I slightly favored the darkness nowadays. But did I then? The unseen, the unseeable. I find it comforting to know that there are things I cannot perceive, cannot observe, cannot ever know. But I ramble. I do that a lot these days, digress and keep going, not quite knowing where and what and who to end it all on. Zeke? Haven't seen him since that day. The old man? Sometimes I think I see him. I know I don't want to, but I don't think it works that way. The door was open. I must have been there for days. It sure felt like it. But I was able to crawl out of that room, soon realizing I was still in that house, in the cellar of it, crawling then, inch by inch, to the weed forest of the maybe front lawn. Zeke's car was still there. I had the keys. In an exhausted stupor, I drove back to that town without a name, or at least none that holds importance, and got on a train. The train ride took 2 hours. 2 hours spent wiping my newborn, now dead vomit baby from every crevice and pore and crease of my body. 2 hours spent on the receiving end of stink eyes and horrified gazes, whispers and rumors and dismay. But I can't blame them. Some things should be observed. Some things should be consumed. I was a big guy once. Once being 2 weeks ago. Now I'm like Zeke. Rotten, deteriorating. Little but a skeletal frame wearing a sack of flapping skin. Mind wandering. Body failing. Soul. Missing, perhaps. Or just hiding. I talk to myself a lot. Talk to the wall. Talk to the void in between myself and everything else. Talk to the unnamed and unseen people haunting the streets. I swear I saw him once, but I could have dreamt it, or remembered it wrong, or remembered it right, but on top of it wrong, or either one, or none in between. A young boy, maybe 8, maybe 80, wearing an old-timey, depressing green-brown tweed suit, at least 3 sizes too large. He might have smiled at me, or frowned, or upside-down frowned, but I felt nothing, no more, except for that lukewarm, acidic bile rising, that nausea that exists on the outside and inside simultaneously, that pill or sometimes capsule she gave me, and then whispered with dancing cobra lips a single word of impregnating malady.
Midvatsky.
Wow. Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And that was Midwalski from author Tor Anders Ulvan. Personally, I lean toward Mylanta. Easier on the stomach. Easier to say, too.
Have you heard about the author?
I mean, a little about the author.
Emerging from the shadowy fjords of Norway, Tor Anders Ulvan has since adolescence been luring unsuspecting souls into his bizarre universe of horror fiction, where the lines between the mundane and the nightmarishly surreal remain paper thin.
Apparently, he doesn't take his life or his art too seriously. Rather, he is driven by an insatiable urge to explore the dark corners of creativity. Whether it's a tale that keeps you up at night or a painting that doesn't seem quite right, his work is a glimpse into a mind that thrives on the preposterous nature of human existence. Kind of like we do at patreon.com/drewblood. Thanks, Tor Anders.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a Patreon membership for the road, friend, or a drink if you want, or both. Go ahead, treat yourself. And may the wind be at your back. May the road rise up to meet you. And until next time, whenever that happens to be, go fuck yourselves. Not y'all.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.